Thank you, Eric, for reading that passage out of Romans chapter 3 earlier. And this morning, just some of the passages I've chosen here just kind of flow together with that very theme that Eric was reading out of Romans chapter 3 on the great sacrifice that Jesus made for all humanity. And this morning, I want to start off by, you can turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53. And before I read there, just want to kind of highlight a couple of verses that Eric read out of Romans 3 in the fact that the writer, Paul, made it very, very clear that there is not one righteous person. We are all under sin. All human beings are under sin, and we need a Savior. And just want to go back to Isaiah chapter 53. And Isaiah 53, sometimes I think we, and including myself, kind of forget, Isaiah 53 is such a clear picture of exactly what would happen later with Jesus that we, I think, sometimes forget how much time there was in between. Because Isaiah lived long before Jesus came to earth. And roughly, like, could be between 600-700 years prior to Jesus actually coming. And it's just always amazes me the detail that we find here. And just thought of it here. This is a passage, I don't remember what grade I was in elementary school, but our teacher made us memorize, I think, the first 8 or 10 verses of this book, or this chapter. And at that time, why would he make us memorize like something out of the Old Testament, even just memorizing, like, that was work. Now I'm very grateful because it is a very, very important passage. So I'll start reading at verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Okay, that was 1-7, and also read verses 11 and 12 of the same chapter. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. This was written 600-700 years before Christ came to earth. And just so many details in here, how he bore the sins of many, how he didn't open his mouth, and just so many things. And as a lamb before its shearers is silent, that was Jesus. He spoke only very few words when he was being accused and spit upon. All right, I'll ask you to turn over to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 19. I'll read verses 1 to 30 here. And I just try to remember what we read in Isaiah and just the details that we read in the book of John here. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him with their hands. And those of you that were here this morning for the ABF, the video we watched talked about this and the possible reasons for the purple robe, the crown of thorns, and many things, because it was a Roman kind of tradition for crowning emperors and kings. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the praetorium, and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Remember in Isaiah that says he didn't open his mouth? Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but 'He said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled which says, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.'" Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with the wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Don't really have anything to add to that. It's so powerful when we think about the cost of what it cost Jesus to pay for the penalty of our sin. I'd just like to read a few verses of the passage that Eric read, which kind of sums this up. Romans 3, I'll read verses 21 to 26. "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ, in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And that's what he came for. That's what he came to earth for, and he accomplished it. "Whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." You know, verse 24, where it says, "being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus," there's nothing, absolutely nothing we can do. That's only by faith in Jesus, just like it says in the passage there. And you know, this whole idea of being declared righteous, it's just something that it's an impossibility for us to do that in ourselves. It is only through what Jesus Christ did for us. And that's what we want to remember here today as we partake of communion. So this time I'll ask any of the guys to come forward and share a passage or pray or something.
I'd like to read from 1 John chapter 1. I want to, right off the bat, just say that this is about fellowship for those that already have a relationship. So starting at verse 1, 1 John 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked on at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim, the word of life." So these were eyewitnesses. "The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make your joy complete." Some translations have "our joy." "This is the message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So he is the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, not just a select group, those that were chosen, or those that live a certain way. No, it's for everyone, for all of us. The penalty of sin has been dealt with. He atoned for our sins so that we could have eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Apostle John who wrote this for us and just encouraging us through it, reminding us that you paid the penalty of our sin. Thank you for what John read earlier in Psalm 103, that you don't treat us as our sins deserve. Thank you for your great love and your mercy, that you are compassionate and that you care for us so deeply. Help us also to not neglect to have fellowship with you and one another, and to also live sacrificially. Thank you, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
We'll turn to 2 Corinthians. Verse 5, starting at 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For he made him... That is, for God has made Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. So you talk about a ransom from heaven. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for everything that you've done for us, even though that we don't deserve at all how you've reconciled us to yourself. Just pray that these passages would sink deep into the hearts of all of us here and that it would make a difference in our lives. Let's pray this in your name. Amen.
Frank read from 1 John, and it just reminded me of Psalm 32. And while we're celebrating communion, we're called to, it's our fellowship with Christ. And if you want to turn to Psalm 32, it's just a prayer of repentance and thanksgiving for being forgiven. So blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silence, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with the songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horses or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfaithful love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that you are faithful and that you do forgive us of our sins when we may have sinned or fallen away from fellowship. Lord, I just thank you that we can be restored and through your love for us. Lord, I just thank you for the sacrifice that you've made. And as we celebrate communion here, that we would just be reminded of that. And be grateful. Lord, just thank you again. Amen.
I'll ask those guys who are helping with serving to come to the front, please.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your great sacrifice for us and how you didn't try to preserve yourself here on earth. You allowed your body to be beaten and broken and all for us, even before you, or before we knew you, before we'd even sinned. We just thank you for forgiveness of past and present and future sins through what you've done for us. Pray this in your name. Amen.
For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Heavenly Father, I thank you for the blood that you shed on the cross. Father, just think of the many songs that are written that said, like the precious flow that made us white as snow. Father, I thank you that you gave of yourself so that we could live. And, Father, even though these are just symbols, just reminds us that you're coming back again. And Father, look forward to a future of eternity together. Thank you in Jesus' name.
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." In closing this morning, I'd just like to read a few verses out of 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 28, to chapter 3, verse 3. "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure." Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, words cannot express the great gift that you've given to us, that you paid for our sins in full. You have declared us righteous by believing in you. We have sins forgiven. We have confidence that we have eternal life with you, because that's what your word says clearly. Thank you for your great love. And as we also read that when we place our trust in you, we are your children and you're our Father. Help us to live like that, Lord. Help us to live our lives so that the influence that we leave will draw other people to you. Thank you for your great love, and we ask you to go with us as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen.